मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं लीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। हरे कृष्णा। सो फॉर योर इन्फॉर्मेशन, टुडे सेशन वी वांट टू पॉज प्रभुपाद लीला एंड टुमारो ऑनवर्ड्स वी वांट टू स्टार्ट समथिंग एल्स बिकॉज नरसिंह चतुर्दशी इज अप्रोचिंग। इट्स ऑन 6th of May। So let's prepare our consciousness for Narasimha Chaturdashi from tomorrow onwards. Today we'll establish ISKCON, we'll pause Prabhupada Leela, and then later we'll start sometime later. Yes. And if you're really eager, maybe you can go through these books. So there's one book called Prabhupada. You'll find it in our ISKCON centers. And on online also you'll find Prabhupada Leela in Vedabase. That's a huge one, that 7-volume book that is put on the Vedabase. So you can go through that. But anyways, we will resume it, or we will have it in parts, you know, sometime later. Because now we are going to complete one full part. We completed the first volume, and today we'll be going and completing the half of the second volume. So let's come back to the place where we were. So all of us, with Prabhupada, we traveled Jaladuta. Then we landed in New York Harbor. We got down from there and Prabhupada is moving and we all were behind Prabhupada. Prabhupada got into the bus and he went to the house of Gopal Agarwal, if all of you remember, in Butler, Pennsylvania. And then for 1 month, Prabhupada spent time there and then he went to New York and he stayed at the house of Dr. Mishra, who was a Mayavadi. And then after staying there, he was thinking that it's very difficult to preach. This person is not allowing me to preach. So let me take my own room. So he got the room number 307 in the same building. And then after that, there was a theft there. And there were few people who were coming and telling Prabhupada that why don't you shift to this particular place in Lower East Side. Why don't you shift to this place? And then after this theft, you know, Prabhupada thought, there's no point in staying here. What is the guarantee? I might get a new typewriter, a new recorder. What is the guarantee that it will not be stolen again? So Prabhupada decided to leave. Even after when the electrician of that particular building, he said, don't go to that place where you're planning to go. 94 Bowery. This was the place. Don't go there because it's very, very dangerous place, is what he said. But still, What option did Prabhupada have there? It was not that ABCD options are given and he chose one. There was no option. This is the only option. So Prabhupada chose this. And he shifted to 94 Bowery. Now for Prabhupada, it didn't matter where he was. It didn't matter, was he in Vrindavan? It didn't matter, was he in Delhi Chippiwada, that temple where he was staying? It didn't matter, no, if he was in Sky India Colony in Mumbai. It didn't matter for him if he was in the house of Gopal Agarwal. It didn't matter for him if he was in the house of Dr. Mishra. One thing was continuing every single day without any stoppage. And that was going on translating Srimad Bhagavatam. Going on and on and on. Every single night he was doing that. Every single night. Every single night. You can understand how much importance, you know, these books have. In fact, I would suggest all of you all, when the lockdown opens, first thing that you should do is order Srimad Bhagavatam. You can ask your mentors, you know, they will order it for you. And I'll personally come to deliver and install Srimad Bhagavatam at your place. Understanding how much Srila Prabhupada has invested his time in these books. Even if we read, we don't read, it's okay. It should be there in front of us. This is what I would suggest all of you all. Yes. Those 18 books of Srimad Bhagavatam should be there in front of us. And when we see those books, we should remember how much Prabhupada struggled to, you know, publish the first canto in 3 volumes. And how much he struggled, you know, for the other volumes also throughout. Yes. Okay, there is some query. Some people are not able to log in. Just a minute. Let me help them out. I don't know. So this is what I was saying, that Srimad Bhagavatam is really very important. One is because of the content. And second, and the most important thing and priority for all of us is because Prabhupada has given that to us. And with so much of effort, anyways, we'll be seeing, you know, with time, whenever we discuss about Prabhupada Leela in future also, we'll see that every single night, Prabhupada would sleep at 10 and he'll get up at 12, only for 2 hours. I was reading something else also on this particular aspect. Sometimes Prabhupada would not sleep. Entire night he would not sleep. Only for one reason, because Prabhupada was always worried that he might leave his body anytime. And if I don't give Srimad Bhagavatam, complete Srimad Bhagavatam, then how can these people get Srimad Bhagavatam? And in fact, he came to the middle of, you know, some canto, maybe some 6th canto, 7th canto, something like that. And then he started writing Krishna book, because Prabhupada was not sure that he would be able to reach 10th canto. So he summarized the entire 10th canto into Krishna book. And Krishna book is a very, very condensed form of nectarian pastimes of Krishna. So Prabhupada gave that. And Prabhupada was really in anxiety when he was writing the Krishna book. So all these books which are there of Srila Prabhupada are an asset for all of us. Even if we read, don't read, these books should be there, especially Srimad Bhagavatam set. It should be there, no, in our house, no doubt about that. And also it is said that whoever has Srimad Bhagavatam in the house, it creates all auspiciousness. All auspiciousness, no doubt about that. Right? So coming back to the topic, Prabhupada was translating Srimad Bhagavatam on and on and on. If you all remember, I talked about one restaurant called The Paradox. So at Paradox, people started talking about the Swamiji. And you know, when they started hearing about Swami, they were very much enamored, because they were attracted to the East philosophy, the Eastern philosophy, that is the Indian philosophy. And also, even Buddhist philosophy also comes from East only. So these people were really very much attracted to the Eastern philosophy. So when they heard that a Swamiji has come from India, and when the word spread across Paradox, that particular restaurant, people started, becoming very, very curious to go and see, you know, what is happening. So Prabhupada was already there in 94 Bauri. And if you all remember in the last session, last Sunday, we discussed that a personality called David, he was sharing that loft with Srila Prabhupada. For your information, loft means an open space or a big hall without any partition. So there was a small curtain which was there, which was, you know, a sort of partition. One side Prabhupada was staying, and another side is David was staying. We'll talk about David. David is hero for today. Hero or villain, we'll understand. He's there today, in the today's pastime. So after hearing about Swamiji, these people started becoming very curious, and they started going to that place, 94 Bauri, and they wanted to chant with him. And many were musicians there, and they were all interested in music than philosophy. Even sometimes when people come to ISKCON, they want to sit for kirtan, and when the class starts or something, then, okay, this is okay, but no, kirtan achcha tha, prasad achcha tha. Yes. So every day morning, in the same place, 94 Bauri, Prabhupada started Srimad Bhagavatam class. And mostly there were 3 attendees. One was the roommate, David. Another two were, you know, one was Robert Nelson. There was another person. And there was another boy who was coming. And then they were discussing philosophy, and Prabhupada would speak philosophy. And these boys were okay, not very much interested, but they were so attracted to Prabhupada. They were not understanding, most of the people, they were not understanding Prabhupada's accent only. It had a thick Bengali accent. The English had thick Bengali accent. In fact, there have been times when Prabhupada is dictating the dictaphone, and his disciples at the later point of time, they are trying to, transcript or type, you know, whatever is spoken in the dictaphone. So once Prabhupada said Pitri, now accent of Prabhupada is difficult to understand. And second, these people don't know Sanskrit words. So they from Prabhupada saying that there is something called as Pitri planet. And then these people translated it as tree planet. And they were wondering, there is a planet only with trees. And then Prabhupada had to correct them, it's Pitri, not tree. So now you can imagine these initial days, these people who were going to hear Prabhupada, how much they would be understanding. In fact, in one of the places, one of the disciples of Prabhupada, he was speaking, he was actually giving a talk, and we were hearing that. So he was saying in the initial days, we were not knowing only or understanding only what Prabhupada is speaking. It was Prabhupada's personality, you know, to whom to which we were attracted to. Such a lively personality he was. You know, that's what, you know, these people say. So in this way, we see that people are attracted to Srila Prabhupada, completely attracted. And these people are also like that. David Nelson, David Robert, and others who were there, they were all attracted to Prabhupada. They would come and hear what Prabhupada is speaking. Sometimes Prabhupada would teach, you know, teach them cooking. Now just imagine learning cooking from Srila Prabhupada. Yes. It's a privilege which these people got. And then he started having evening sessions. So morning sessions was every day. And evening session he started having on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. These three. Now, understanding the schedule here at the loft where Prabhupada was staying, let's understand the situation in Bauri. Now, the streets of Bauri were completely filled with two categories of people. First, homeless people sleeping here and there. So they didn't have any home. They were sleeping here and there. They will occupy most of the place on the street. And most of the time of the day. It's not like only night they were sleeping or something like that. This is one. And the other category of people were bums. Bums are not drunkards. So they would be sleeping anywhere and everywhere. And most of the time they'd be sleeping near the staircase to Prabhupada's place. So now these personalities who would be coming to attend Prabhupada's session, they have to cross these bums who are lying near the staircase. Now that was their condition. And in fact, Prabhupada, sometimes when he would come out, even he would have that problem. Even he would have that problem. People are sleeping now. What to do? What to do? Right? Let's discuss about what attracted people the most when Prabhupada would give session. Now, Prabhupada would do kirtan. There was one bulb which was there, so it was a dim light. And Prabhupada would do kirtan. He would also lit some incense. And these hippies who were there, they would like that very much. Kirtan, they would like very much because they were musicians by profession also. And they had a lot of liking for music. Only thing is, they liked some music, and here there was a mantra also which was recited. So many hippies would come, many such people would come and go. This was like to and fro. And these people were involved in music, drugs, women, and spiritual realization. The fourth one does not go with first three. Spiritual realization doesn't go with drugs and women for sure. But then, you know, these people are involved in these four. And they were feeling, if we take drugs and go high in drugs, then we'll attain that spiritual realization. This is what their thing was. And Srila Prabhupada's kirtan would be both music and meditative. So that is the reason these people are attracted. And then when Prabhupada were doing this, so at that time, many of them would come with their instruments also. But this was a flowing crowd, to and fro. This was going out. This was going on. And you see Prabhupada's personality. Even when there was so much of disturbance around, the setup was disturbing, no doubt about it. But still, no one could disturb him. Translating of Srimad Bhagavatam, or be it his mood of remembering Krishna, or be it his chanting, he wouldn't get disturbed at all. So many people are coming and going. And when he would come out, he would see, you know, a bum lying on the door. A bum is lying on the door. Yes. And then when he's lying at the door, now what Prabhupada has to do? In fact, he had to cross the body of that person and he has to go. Normally, we don't do that. In our Sanatana Dharma, we don't do that. That's not really good to cross someone's body. But now this person is lying unconscious. What to do? And there'll be some homeless people around. Derelict, we call it as. So they'll be just looking at Prabhupada coming out and they'll be watching. And sometimes, you know, they would speak some harsh words to Prabhupada. Sometimes try to pull his leg, sometimes laugh at him. Sometimes drunk people, Prabhupada is coming out of the house and some drunk person is coming. So Prabhupada is coming and the drunk person is coming. They'll just bump into each other. Prabhupada would not, but the other person would come and they'll just bump into him. Yes. And sometimes, you know, there'll be people who will not allow Prabhupada to move only. But there were few who now would allow Prabhupada to move, and Prabhupada would give them a nice smile acknowledging their gesture. So in this way, we see that you know, Prabhupada literally faced a lot of problem, And then there was an article which came in the paper, or that the local paper, which was called as Village Voice. And in this newspaper, the interviewer was there. His name was Howard Smith. So he took the interview of Prabhupada. And then Howard Smith says that I have met so many sannyasis who have come from India, but this sannyasi was very special. I got attracted to him like anything. I was liking to speak to him. And whatever he spoke was genuine. And what attracted to me the most is the simplicity of the person. Simplicity of Prabhupada. So this attracted Prabhupada the most. The most. Right. This is what the article came there saying, that Swamiji, the person from India, a sannyasi from India, or Swami from India, has started a different movement altogether for the hippies. So this is the article which came in the Village Voice newspaper. But then Prabhupada couldn't stay for a long time in that loft. And the reason was his roommate, David. Now this David was a bit weird personality. In fact, Prabhupada would spend a lot of time with him. Prabhupada was giving a lot of time to David. He was trying to train him a lot. And Prabhupada could see that he's interested. And he would tell also that, you know, Prabhupada, I want to progress a lot in spirituality. Please help me, and so on and so forth. In fact, Prabhupada was thinking that I'll take him to Vrindavan. And then I'll train him very nicely. And in future, I'll send him here to preach in the West. But then one thing was there, that when Prabhupada is planning that this person is very favorable, here only I'll open a temple in this loft, I'll get the deities from Rajasthan and I'll install them here. All this was going on. But one thing was a big obstacle, and that was the addiction of David to LSD and marijuana, that is drugs. He was highly addicted. Prabhupada tried telling, don't do this, this is not good for spiritual life. No ways you'll progress in spiritual life by being intoxicated. But what to do? People are intoxicated. No, it's very difficult to help them out. So Prabhupada, Prabhupada tried a lot telling, but he didn't listen. So Prabhupada didn't force also, because it's not correct. It's a new person, and you know, what's the use of forcing? Now when David would take drugs, he would go so crazy, he would start running in the entire loft. And sometimes he would be sitting at one place seriously, meditating on something. Again, he would get up and start jumping. Many times, David will leave the soap in the bathroom on the floor. And Prabhupada told him many times that don't do this, you know, it's very dangerous. And one day Prabhupada was again instructing him that don't keep soap here, keep it up, and so on and so forth. He started shouting at Srila Prabhupada, shouting like anything. No? So you can imagine what was happening there. So this was one particular day, which was a very, very dangerous day for Srila Prabhupada. Very dangerous. So what happened is Prabhupada was sitting on his part and he was working on his typewriter, and he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And David, he took drugs and he became very high in drugs. It was overdose for him. And he couldn't control his emotions. He started running at fierce speed all around the loft in his area. He started yelling and howling and, you know, speaking and all sort of nonsense. So all this was okay till he was there on his side, on the other side of the partition. But what happened is he came running and he crossed the curtain and he came to where Srila Prabhupada was. And he was not speaking anything. He was just looking at Prabhupada and standing there, and he was giving weird looks to Srila Prabhupada. And he was with the mood to kill Srila Prabhupada on that particular day, and he was about to lift something to hit Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada got up from there. He ran out of the place. There were so many bums lying here and there, so many drunkards lying here and there. Prabhupada jumped, you know, from people, and then he was on the road. He was on the road and he started walking, you know, with swift speed. Can you imagine this, what Prabhupada has gone through? Oh. At the age of 70, who desires to go through all these things? Tell me, who desires to go through? He was so nice in Vrindavan. People respected him, and there was so much of awe and reverence, and people gave him the title Bhaktivedanta. People would come to talk to him and take lessons from him, from scriptures. But look at this. He's running for his own life. He's running for his own life, Krishna. Very, very difficult, you know, to comprehend what Prabhupada is going through. For us, it's very easy. Sometimes even the serious situation, I make it humorous so that, you know, all of you can connect with particular situation. But, you know, if we understand the seriousness of the situation, it's very difficult to comprehend. We'll be in tears to understand what he was going through. Now Prabhupada was there on the road. He was on the road. And that place was so dangerous that you cannot just stand on the road without any purpose. You can be killed anytime because one David was there inside was drug addict. There were many Davids outside who were drug addicts. Can you imagine the situation? He was on the road and he was not understanding what to do. He cannot go back to Dr. Mishra because he has already left the place. And then he cannot do anything. Now he has no place, whom to call, what to do. And no belongings he had taken. All the belongings are there inside. And he never knows if he goes inside, maybe he'll never come outside. David was fully drug overdose on that particular day. 9 months of preaching which Srila Prabhupada did. It was almost like, now it was June. Prabhupada was there and it was June where Prabhupada, when Prabhupada shifted in Bauri. June, what was the date? 1966? Yes, yeah, 1966. So June 1966. So he was there. So now you can imagine 9 months of whatever he did, it's almost like was ended. It's almost like over. And what was his struggle? His struggle was no assistance from government of India, no assistance from his godbrother from Gaudiya Mutt. And there were so many other giants in India, the business giants. No one were helping him. No one. He had the ticket back to India. He was walking quickly, swiftly. But then he cannot go. He cannot go to take a return ship back to India because when he was walking swiftly, the order of his spiritual master, the instruction of his spiritual master was ringing in the mind. How can he leave? How can he leave? Yes. Then finally, Srila Prabhupada remembered one personality. His name was Karl. C-A-R-L. It's very difficult. These foreign names are very difficult. He called Karl. He was a regular visitor to Srila Prabhupada's sessions in Bauri. He called him and then he said, you know, I'm in a terrible situation. I really need your help. I'm in an emergency. Please help me out. Yes. And he explained what has happened. So Karl understood. It's an emergency situation. So Karl said, no problem. Swamiji, you come to my place. You can stay with me. So Swamiji, that is Bhaktivedanta Swami or Prabhupada, he went there. And now Karl had a wife and her name was Eva. That was not a good place to stay. You know, both of them, Karl and Eva, they were also in the same categories of hippies, right? It was not a good place to stay there, you know, with a couple like that. But still, Prabhupada had no option at all. No option. No option. Now when people see ISKCON, they say, Arey, Bapre, such a big temple, so much of money is there here. And, you know, these people are just here to mint money and so on and so forth. But it's not like that. A person who has gone through so much, the principle that he has set in ISKCON is very, very strict principles. Very, very strict principles. You know, even when it comes to brahmacharis here, you know, when I'm a part of ISKCON, you know, I understand that how difficult it is, you know, to maintain a particular place. So currently the place where we are staying, ISKCON Whitefield, you know, every single month, so the rent that we pay is around 1.2 lakhs. And then we have other programs and other festivals and so many things. So what Prabhupada went through, that's what we remember. That's what all the great personalities who are taking care of different temples, they remember. Prabhupada had gone through so much. Ours is we have to just maintain. You know? So let's go through whatever pain and struggle is there. You know, we'll go through. With that mood, you know, devotees stay in ISKCON. That is the mood with you know, what devotees have. Because what they have seen or what they have heard about Prabhupada or what they have felt about Prabhupada is, this person has gone through so much of trouble in his life. Now it's our turn to take trouble and make sure you know we maintain ISKCON. For people outside, it's so easy to speak anything and everything. Anything and everything. 1 week Srila Prabhupada stayed with Karl and Eva. 1 week somehow he managed, he was staying there, you know, these hippies somehow. And then side by side, Karl was trying to search, you know, for a good place for Swamiji. But they couldn't. Then they finally called one personality called Michael Grant. He was into music. They called him. And Mike was a very intelligent person. Immediately, he searched this newspaper, Village Voice. And he searched some contact from there. And then quickly, he called the owner of the place. And then after that, he fixed a meeting with that person. His name was Mr. Gardiner. So Mr. Gardiner was called up. Please help us. We need a place. And he was an agent. He was an agent who would help in this real estate thing. Now, Prabhupada is there in Carl's house and there's a meeting fixed with Gardiner. So Mike or Michael, he has fixed a meeting with Gardiner. So Carl was informed that we have got a meeting with Gardiner. And then he was told that you have to come to so-and-so place. Now this place was in a place surrounding called as Chinatown, not the China, the Corona China, not China. Yes, this is a Chinatown, a place nearby that was just 5 blocks away from the west of Bowery. So 5 blocks away from there. I'm explaining as if I've gone there. So whatever I've read and whatever photos I saw from that, I couldn't make out. So there's a map in which it is shown that where all Prabhupada went. So in that I could make out, yes, you know, 5 blocks away. Now that's the Chinatown. And there, no, this new place was there. So this new place was in the locality called Chinatown. And that particular place was called as Second Avenue. And that room or the building was 26. So it was called as 26 Second Avenue. And now that place was an old place. It was a shop which was recently vacated. And on the top, it was written Matchless Gift Shop. I have a video. Let's see if we have time. We'll see that video also of that particular place. And then all four of them came there. First, Gardiner and Mike came. And Mike started talking about the Swamiji. He said, no, he's a very religious person, very nice. He has come from India. You have to help us. And so on and so forth. And then Carl and Swamiji arrived. Now, for our information, the rent of that particular storefront, a small storefront. It was $125. Now, obviously, Prabhupada cannot stay there. It was not a place for residence. Then behind the storefront, on the second floor, there was another room which Gardiner showed them. And that room was good enough. So that was costing around $71. So now total is $196 rent. Who has to pay? A person who doesn't have a single penny. Yes, still that 40 rupees is still there. Now it's just $7 or something. But then $196 he's supposed to pay. So Prabhupada was very, very witty. He was talking to the agent Gardiner. Okay. So now the talk is going on. And then Prabhupada says, you are a very intelligent person. Why don't you become the official trustee of this society? There is no society that is established. International Society for Krishna Consciousness is not established yet. But this Prabhupada is telling him, why don't you become official trustee of our society? And Gardiner, he said, okay, I agree. Okay, agree to this. And Gardiner started contributing $20 every month. And Prabhupada, you know, by his witty mode and also with gratitude, Prabhupada gifted him Srimad Bhagavatam, first volume, the three volumes of first canto. And in front of him, Prabhupada signed. Now, this personality was honored to receive the book signed by the author himself. He was feeling very, very nice. So finally, the place was there. But now that place was really dirty. There was no water, no electricity. The paint was not there. Even the room which Prabhupada was supposed to stay in, that place was also dirty. So there were already some dozen of followers, some 12, 13 followers already there. They were coming to Bowery to attend Srila Prabhupada's session at that time when he was staying in that Bowery loft. So all of them came together and within a week's time, they painted the entire place, both the storefront and his room. It was painted very nicely. The electricity, water, everything was arranged. Electricity supply, water supply. Even the phone was arranged. So it was there in the storefront now. And now we have to get the belongings of Swamiji from that loft, from that David's place. It was a very horrifying experience for sure. But you know, they went, you know, to that loft, all of them together. You know, it's almost like a rally. They went together. Then they took all Prabhupada's belongings. So those 200 sets of Bhagavatam were still there. So they lifted all that. They lifted the various other things, typewriter and this and that. And Prabhupada held two suitcases with him. It was the June and summer poured its heat. It was really heat, really hot. Scorching heat was there. And you imagine Prabhupada at the age of 70, he's holding these two suitcases and it was really a long distance. 4 blocks away, it's a long distance. So somehow Prabhupada is walking with those. He has two suitcases. And behind him, all of them are following, not taking the belongings. somehow he was walking, then keeping the suitcase down, resting for some time, again lifting, again walking. So this was happening. And finally, after a good amount of time, finally they reached that particular place. And then, now they have come to the place. Now there's a question, who will pay the rent, first month's rent? Seeing Prabhupada's situation of so much of urgency, these people said that let's all of us contribute together and then we'll pay the rent. This is what these hippies did. This is what is Krishna's arrangement, you know. This is what is Krishna's arrangement. From nowhere, these people come. They start attending sessions, even without understanding the accent of the person. Only by hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there was a transformation in their heart. And all of them, they contributed the first month's rent. There are some 12, 13 people were there. Yes, they did that. Now let's try to discuss the new place. We discussed about so many places now. Just imagine going from one place to another, not an easy thing. But Prabhupada was doing, he had no option. Now this new place, 26 Second Avenue, the storefront, matchless gift shop. Even today, all the gift shops in ISKCON, they are called as matchless gift shop. In just the memory of that, the first gift shop. So in front of that particular storefront, there'll be huge traffic always. There are a lot of other stores and other buildings. There are a lot of kids who would come out and they would play. And, you know, there were a lot of honing and there were a lot of traffic, a lot of smoke. All these things were there. So it was really a very chaotic setup, I would say, in front of the storefront and near the storefront. It was a very chaotic setup. But, you know, that was the place. Now you cannot do anything. So first, all these people helped Srila Prabhupada to set up his room. That was already painted. So that place was very nice now. So it was nicely painted. The toilets were clean. And the wooden floor, the floor was wooden floor. So it was very nice like that. And there were two rooms, the rear room and the front room. So you can imagine maybe say a bedroom sort of and maybe a hall. And there was a narrow kitchen there. So there these people got some cushion. The cushion was kept. And opposite to the wall, then cushion, and opposite to that, that kept the trunk of Srila Prabhupada. And on that, there was a typewriter. And there was Bhagavatam sets in that rare room. And then manuscripts of Prabhupada, they were wrapped in saffron clothes because he was, you know, typing continuously. Those manuscripts were there. And then Prabhupada himself hung a photo, an Indian calendar, which was having Krishna playing the flute. And then outside, the front room basically, in the front room, there was a table. So the coffee table, they call it as. So the table was there and they had fixed that table. So they moved the table towards the wall. And this is the first thing that devotees see whenever they go to any new place. Where can they make the altar? So Prabhupada saw this place to be very nice. So there were two windows in between a wall and there they had put the table. And then they put the photo. And this photo was of Panchatattva. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabho Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar Srivas. So five personalities in that photo. And there's a calendar of Mahavishnu lying on Anantashesh, which was hung nearby. Yes. So this was the entire setup in that particular place. When it comes to gift shop, a gift shop was a new preaching center where all the things are going to happen. That was going to be a very happening place now. So there in the gift shop, there was a glass. We'll see that video. On the glass, that stuck another Panchatattva photo, which was painted by Harvey Cohen. Now, this personality was another student, and Prabhupada inspired him to paint, and he painted a very nice photo. And that was hung outside. And then there was also an advertisement that was pasted. Advertisement said, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the sessions from the Swamiji from India, and the sessions will be on Bhagavad Gita. So, this is what, you know, it was written on that. So, many, many people were going around. But the thing is that no one would notice that something like this is happening there because it was a busy street. Like even when it comes to us, if someone shifts to our apartment, you know, some room in some apartment, you know, it's very difficult to understand also that some new person has come in, right? So you can imagine there, it's a busy street and people are least bothered. They were busy drinking, smoking, etc., etc. No, they were least bothered about anything. And they're busy in their own world. So they couldn't make out that something new has happened here. Yes. But in Prabhupada's life, there was a big thing that has happened. So initially, there were first newcomers. You know, there were some newcomers who came and all these newcomers were either young artists, musicians, some intellectuals also came. And later came the middle class dropouts. Now this middle class dropouts is basically people from the middle class families. And they had left, you know, various things, you know, of their house. They had left their house and they had come there. Now many people, they started coming to this lower east side. And this was called as East Village, where this particular place was there. Many people started coming there because first was the rent was low. And these people were searching for real peace, real love, real existence, real spiritual consciousness. This was the mood, you know, that these people were searching for. Very soon, these people will be called as hippies. Till now, this hippies term has not come into picture. Very soon, they'll be called as hippies. Why they were called as hippies is there was something called as Vietnam War. I'm sure all of you know this. You know, at least you might have heard about it. So the government of that particular place were forcing the young people to get involved in the war. And these youth became really rebellious, you know, towards this. And they renounced their house. They renounced everything, their profession, their studies, everything they renounced. And they started coming to this lower east side. And this East Village, which was there, that was pretty affordable. So they were coming there. And they wanted to live a free life. And they wanted to live a poverty life. It's okay. It was okay for them. But they wanted some peace in their life. They wanted some happiness in their life. And that they were expressing through art, music, drugs, and sex. These were the things that they were doing. And everything in public. Everything in public. And they were searching for spirituality. But the keys to spirituality was LSD and marijuana. It's almost like, you know, some person is having alcohol and then he's saying that, I want to understand Gita. That was the mood there. Somehow I'm trying to connect their situation with our situation here. Now just imagine to preach in such a place. Just imagine all of you get a preaching assignment that you have to go and distribute the Gita course passes in this area. Just imagine you go to a person, now he's smoking or taking drugs, and then you speak to him that we're going to conduct Gita course at PK Sports, Panathur, you know, please come. That person will be just looking at you. And then he's in his own mood. And you never know when he'll punch you. That was the situation. And preaching was going to happen there. Preaching was going to happen there. The advertisement said, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So many people were moving around on that road. But there were few who were very curious to see that big painting of five people raising their hands. The Panchatattva photo. Then they would come closer and they would see, and then they would find a small patch which talked about, or which was an advertisement for the Monday, Wednesday, Friday sessions from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So when people would come and see this, they would be very much interested. They would say, okay, let's try something. We anyways are trying so many things. Let's try this one also. That was the mood. It's like, you know, you go out and then you're searching for a restaurant and you say that, let's try this restaurant also. That was the mood here. Okay, let's try this spiritual angle also. It's okay. We're trying with drugs. Now have drugs also and come here. So what sort of audience came to this new place? The old audience from Bowery, it was very difficult for them to come from 94 Bowery because they had their own work and, you know, it was they had to walk, you know, some distance and things like that. So they were not very much willing to come. But still there were a few like the Bill and James, you know, who were actually the people who told Prabhupada about 94 Bowery, and they were the ones who were spreading the news in that Paradox restaurant. And they were still doing that. They were still talking about Prabhupada. And they spoke about the new place now. And like this, the word started spreading even more about this new place. About 26 Second Avenue, the gift shop, matchless gift shop. One day, you know, Prabhupada was out on the street. And there was another person called Howard. So he was 26 years old and he was an instructor of English in one of the universities. And he had left that and he had come there. And, you know, he was hurrying to his friend's apartment and he was staying in a place called Moto Street. Moto Street. So that was the place name. From there, he was hurrying to his friend's place. Now, this personality, Howard, who was there, he had actually visited India. He and his friend, Keith, these two personalities had visited India and recently they had come back from India. So when they saw a Swamiji in saffron, he was really like, he felt something great has happened. Because what he had seen in India, same personality, same sort of personality he was able to see here. And he felt very nice. And he was actually searching for a spiritual master. That was his mode. So he was actually searching for a spiritual master. He came there, and then Howard asked Swamiji, "Are you from India?" And then Prabhupada was waiting that someone talks to him. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I am. Where are you from?" And then the talk started. Both of them started talking. And Prabhupada invited him, saying, "This is." He took him to the storefront, and he invited this personality that, "Why don't you come for the sessions? Monday, Wednesday, Friday." And he said, "Get your friends also." And Howard, he promised, saying, "I'll come on Monday and I'll get my friends as well." Now, he didn't go to his friend's house. He started to go to his friend's house, but he didn't go there. He went back to his own place, Moto Street. And there he went and he started telling his roommates, Keith and Valley, that, I met a Swami from India. Let's go there. You know, it's a very nice session. They started talking a lot about it. There were other people, like there was someone called Stephen. So he came close to that storefront window and he saw the advertisement. And he said, "Okay, let me try this. This is very nice." There's another person called Steve. He was a caseworker in the welfare community there, welfare department. So he came close to the window. He saw that sign. He saw that advertisement. He also decided he'll come. Like this, you know, many of them, they decided, "Okay, we'll come to this place." Can you imagine what's going to happen now? Amazing. This is amazing. See Krishna's arrangement. See Krishna's arrangement. And very soon, these people are going to become disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Having discussed all these things, let's discuss the first kirtan and the first class on Monday evening, 7 p.m. at Matchless Gift Shop. Be ready. Hear this very carefully now. 7 p.m. Monday. The storefront was opened. The door was opened. The windows were opened. And Prabhupada is still there in his room. He has not come yet. And there were a few people who were already his followers. They were making some arrangements there. Nothing was there in that place. There was no nothing to sit on the floor. It was completely vacant, completely empty. There was a dim light hanging from the top, a bulb hanging from the top. Yes, it was 7 p.m. It was a bit dark there. So this was the setup. And now people started coming, 7 p.m. Now all these hippies who were there, they were wearing denims and they were wearing t-shirts. And they were wearing some sneakers. So they were leaving their footwear outside and they were entering the place. And they all came there and they all sat down. And obviously, many of them had taken drugs for sure. They all were sitting there. And then comes the Swamiji. Yes. So now it was the August time. It was summer. Not August. It was June. That's what we said. Towards the end, June end. So it was summertime. And at that time, Prabhupada was wearing a chadar. Chadar is like a cloth. What do you call it as? Much bigger than the towel. A plain colored. So he was, the pujaris, what they wear. So he was wearing that. He was not wearing anything on the top. So it was bare chest. And he was wearing the chadar. Saffron chadar. And then he was wearing the dhoti, normally what he used to wear. And Prabhupada had a usual style of walking. He would look up and, with a nice straight body, he would walk in the, wherever he would go. Normally, he would do that. And when he came from there, from a different door, all the people were looking at him. And they're thinking, is he Gautam Buddha? Because that's what they knew about. They were all thinking, maybe he's Gautam Buddha. And then, things like that. And then when Prabhupada came there, Prabhupada had this witty mood always. He saw Howard because he remembered meeting him on the street. He saw him and then he asked, "Oh, thank you very much for coming. Did you get your friends also?" And Howard said, "Yes, they're sitting here. They're sitting here." He showed. Keith and Valley, they were sitting there. And there were other people also. So almost like some 10 to 12 people were sitting there. Prabhupada came forward and he sat there. Even he sat on the ground. There was no asana. Nothing was there. He also sat on the ground and he removed his kartal. And then they started playing. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. The kartal started. And in that dim light, in that dim setup, everyone is sitting. For the first time, they're going to hear something mystical. The mystical mantra, the mystical music from the mystical person. And this person is not an ordinary person who is a professional singer on the stage. This person is a pure devotee of Krishna who has attained Krishna. He's that personality and he's going to do kirtan. And he started playing. The kartal started and Prabhupada started singing. Prabhupada started singing his usual beautiful tune. And it is said that when Prabhupada started the kirtan, everyone, they were immersed in kirtan. They were absorbed in kirtan. Completely absorbed. There was a lot of horn sound outside, you know, dogs were barking and the kids were yelling out and one person was calling another person. It was a very chaotic situation. But as soon as the kirtan started, the kirtan took over all the sounds which are existing outside. Everything else was almost like nothing exists around and only this kirtan exists. And all these people who were sitting there, when they were interviewed, they say that it was a different world altogether which we relished in that particular place. This kirtan went on and on and on and people were going crazy in that kirtan. They were listening, they were singing, they were listening, they were singing. And Prabhupada, can you imagine the intensity with which Prabhupada did the kirtan? He's getting an opportunity to do kirtan and so many people are there. It's a new place. And Prabhupada's goal of establishing International Society for Krishna Consciousness is ringing in his mind. And he's calling out for Krishna in his kirtan. And he's doing kirtan with so much of intensity. Can you imagine that intense kirtan? Yes. Don't imagine. We'll not be able to. We'll not be able to. Prabhupada doing kirtan and we sitting there live. It went on for half an hour. Half an hour it just went on. And 7:30 the kirtan stopped. Do you all want to see that kirtan? Not the first kirtan. Now there is some... Okay. Some video from that time only, but after some time. It was not exactly the first kirtan. Is it visible? So this is the matchless gift shop and this is the photo which I was talking about, the pencil of the photo. See the intensity with which Prabhupada is going to come. So, this was the place. This is how the kirtan started there. And this is the first, the video which I showed was after a few weeks, this video was taken. But the first kirtan, you can imagine how it was. And then 7:30, Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. Now it was the time for class. And now the door was kept open. When the kirtan stopped, so it was almost like the kirtan is stopping and all the other noise is picking up. The traffic and the kids and the neighborhood shout, neighbor shouting, dogs barking, everything started. You know, huge sound it was, huge sound. And in that, Prabhupada is going to give class. And Prabhupada started speaking. He started speaking about Krishna. He started saying that even a person who does little endeavor on the path of bhakti, that particular endeavor is never wasted. So basically he was talking from second canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And what was happening is, immediately after the kirtan, few people left. And after they started hearing Prabhupada, few people left. So there were few people remaining in the setup. Now there was a drunkard who entered in that particular scenario. And then he entered inside and then he said, "How are ya?" And he started with that, "How are ya?" And then he started saying, he looked at everyone, "I'll be right back, I'll be right." He started shouting, "I'll be right back." And Prabhupada looked at him. Now can you imagine the situation? There are no volunteers to stop this person. And everyone in the crowd, they're looking at that person, they're looking at Swamiji and they're thinking, what Swamiji is going to do now? And then Prabhupada says, "Sit down, don't disturb." See, Prabhupada has taken shelter of Krishna. He'll not be fearful of anything. Not be fearful of anything. "Sit down, don't disturb." Then that bum said, "I'll be right back, I'll be right back." And he ran away. He ran out. After some time, you know, Prabhupada still, you know, Prabhupada again resumed speaking. And after some time, you know, this person comes back. And then he just goes through, manure somehow inside. He goes to the toilet, which was there. And then he fixes some toilet papers. He had got some toilet papers. And then near the sink, he was fixing some paper towels. And then everyone was looking at him. And Prabhupada is looking at him. And then after looking at everyone and then looking at Prabhupada, this person just left from there. And at that time, Prabhupada, in his class, he continued saying, "See, look at this. Everyone likes to serve even a person like him." And everyone were amazed. There was an ecstatic kirtan that happened. And after that, this amazing, mystical act that happened. That drunkard could have done anything, but he came and he helped. No one asked his help, but he came and he helped and then he went out. Yes. And like this, the class went up to 8:30. 8:30, Prabhupada stopped this class. There's still few people sitting. All of them, they were looking at Prabhupada. They were amazed and they're still looking at Prabhupada. And then another ecstatic kirtan started. Prabhupada started with another kirtan and the kirtan started. And the kirtan went up to 9 o'clock. There's another ecstatic kirtan and everyone relishing the kirtan. Same thing again. The kirtan took up and all the noise went down. Then after the kirtan got over, 9 o'clock, Prabhupada stopped. And then there was an apple which was got and there was a wooden bowl and a knife. So in front of everyone, he cut the apple into 2 pieces, then 4, then 8, and he cut into small pieces. And then he took one from that and he passed the bowl. And in a very, very majestic style, he took the apple piece and then he just popped into the mouth without touching the fingers to the lips. This is Brahmanical style. Now you don't touch the fingers, when you're just having some fruits or some snacks, you don't touch it to the mouth. Yes. So that's dirty. When you're having food, you do. So Prabhupada did that. He just popped it. And everyone was looking at Prabhupada. What is he doing? And then everyone took pieces of apple, from that. Yes. So in this way, the Monday evening session ended. And Prabhupada walked out from the place in his majestic style like a king. He walked out from that place and he went to his room. This was the first session. Like this, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, these sessions will happen. Now, there was one personality called Keith. He was so inspired by Prabhupada. He just shifted with Prabhupada. Next, after a week, he just shifted to his room. And then they started serving Srila Prabhupada. That person started serving Srila Prabhupada very nicely. He learned cooking from Swamiji. And he learned various other things. He learned how to make rice, dal, then chapati and sabji. Prabhupada would normally go out to get various ingredients from the shop. But now this person would be going out to get. And he started helping Prabhupada very nicely. Very nicely. So one day, these boys, Keith and his friends, Howard and Valley, they all decided, let's go and decorate the gift shop. So from their room, they took the curtains. And then from their room, they took various pictures. They took all that and they had put everything there. They had put nice curtains. Then they got some wooden planks and they set it up a nice raised platform for Prabhupada to sit. So curtains was there and then there was a nice setup, a platform which has come up. And on the platform, they had put a nice velvet cloth. And for Prabhupada to sit, there was a pillow and behind that put a cushion. They had some photographs also. They had some pictures from India. So they had put those pictures at different places. Very nicely they decorated and they lit up the incense. And they were all waiting. they were all waiting for Prabhupada to come in. Yes, they were all waiting for the Swamiji to come in. And their only goal, which was there, you know, all those people, they just had the goal that they want to please Swamiji. That's it. Now they wanted to please Swamiji. That was the mood, you know, which these few surrendered souls had. Still, they were not practicing any Krishna consciousness. Only thing that they knew was, we like Swamiji, we love him, we have affection for him, and we'll do anything for him. That was the mood that was there. Chanting, etc. was not there yet. Only Kirtan was there. Four related principles also was not there. They're just going on. So Prabhupada entered. And Prabhupada saw entire place, you know, changed. And Prabhupada was very happy. And Prabhupada was very happy. And then he said, you people are now progressing on the path of Krishna consciousness. Can you imagine how much mercy these people might have got? How much mercy? No, a pure devotee's heart, no, showering mercy. No, it's a very, very big thing. Prabhupada saw this and it was a natural blessing that was coming from the heart of Srila Prabhupada for all these personalities who were standing there. And then Prabhupada came on the dais, he sat there, and again he started a very nice kirtan, a very nice class, and it went on very nicely. And Prabhupada said, tomorrow morning I will come and I will see these photos, you know, which I have put. So next day morning Prabhupada came, and then he saw the first photo, or the first picture which was hung. So that picture was of a person playing the drum and a girl dancing. So Prabhupada said, this photo is okay. Then another photo was of only a girl in a different pose. He said, this is not okay. Then he went to the next photo. Now look at this. Look at Lord's arrangement. Without Prabhupada's notice, there was a photo now of a personality with six arms. And this photo was of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the six-handed form, Prabhupada showed it to different devotees when he was there in... Sorry. The six-handed form was shown by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his devotees when 500 years ago when he was doing that pastime. So two hands were of Krishna playing the flute. Two hands were of Lord Ramchandra, one having bow, one having arrow. And the two hands were having danda and kamandalu, the staff and the bowl of a sannyasi. And Prabhupada saw that, and Prabhupada was so happy. And these personalities, they just had the photo. They were not knowing who the person was. So they asked, Swamiji, who is this? And then Prabhupada started explaining, he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself in the age of Kali. As if they were knowing very well about Krishna. Then Prabhupada started explaining two hands of Krishna, two hands of Lord Ramchandra, two hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And then Prabhupada said, this is a very nice photo. Then they moved to another photo. That photo was of Hanuman. These people were not knowing who this person was. Prabhupada came then. Prabhupada was very happy to see Hanuman's photo. And these people asked, who this cat is? Like, when I was reading this, I was thinking that what is Prabhupada doing amongst, you know, such ignorant people? They're not knowing anything about Indian culture. Nothing they're knowing. And they're asking, is he a cat? And Prabhupada then started explaining, no, he's a servant of Lord Ramchandra, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. He started explaining very nicely. Right. So in this way, you know, that entire place was set up very nicely by these people. And there was a nice reciprocation which was happening in the room of Srila Prabhupada, where these people would come to the room of Srila Prabhupada and they would have a nice feast, the afternoon meal. Initially, Prabhupada would be making, and later Keith took over. And Keith would be doing all this cooking. With time, there were dozens of people who were coming for meal every day. There are some people who would come only for meal. On time, dot, they'd be there. And Prabhupada would be very happy to receive all of them. Very happy. And it was a very nice theme. You know, the description was very nice, which I read. So Keith would be making all this and everyone would be standing outside and be looking in the kitchen. What's happening? And then they would see that a round shaped chapati, basically, a round shaped raw thing is put on the fire and it starts bulging like a football. That's what they said. You know, football. And they're so eager to see what is happening. And then he would remove that and put it, you know, on a plate. And all the air would come out. They're looking at all this. Then he was making sabji. And at the other place, the dal was boiling. The end of all the cooking was the chalk. Chalk is like, I don't know what you call in different languages. The last thing that you put on the dal, the oil and the mustard seeds and other things. Yes, the curry leaves and others. So now they were using ghee. So in a small pot, there was a ghee which was there. And now Keith, everyone is watching. All these people are watching. They're eagerly waiting. When will the prasad be ready? our food will be ready, and they're watching this. And then he puts the mustard seeds in that, cumin seeds in that, and it starts, you know, chup, 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 you know, sound is coming out. And then he puts the chili in that, and there's a smoke, and then he takes that particular chalk, and then he puts it on the dal, and there's a huge sound, zoom. And everyone is so happy. Everyone is so happy. They were happy for two things, something new they were seeing, and along with that, they were happy that now the prasadam is ready. And then they would get it out, and Prabhupada would come. They would place everything on the table of Panchatattva, near the Panchatattva photo, and Prabhupada would offer prayers, and they would all, you know, bow down to the photo, and then the people would serve very nicely. So weekdays, Keith would be cooking, and on the weekend, especially on Sunday, Prabhupada would cook. He would cook kachoris, sweet rice, samosas, single-handedly he would do all this. And he would personally serve everyone with so much of love and affection, he would serve everyone. And he would force everyone, no, take more, why are you not taking? Hey you, why are you not taking? Take more. This was the mood of our dear Srila Prabhupada. And the love that he showered captured the hearts of these people. And it was a natural love, you know, which was coming. It was not artificial love. Yes. So all this was happening. That day came, July 1966. This day was very special. Before itself, before coming to this particular place, when he was there in Bauri, from there only he was writing letters to different personalities in India, and there he would be saying that I want to establish International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Some people suggested him, his friends or people, the localites in this Western world, that you don't say Krishna Consciousness, you call it as God Consciousness, then Westerners would be able to connect. Then Prabhupada said, who is God? Krishna is God. Why should we hide? Krishna Consciousness. Let people get to know who is God. Who lets people get to know that who is Supreme Personality of God. So he didn't agree for God Consciousness that. No. And also this Krishna Consciousness word is a bona fide word from Shastra. So in Sanskrit it is called as Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita. By that basically means rasa is mellow. So bhavita is becoming absorbed. So it is like absorption in the mellow of executing Krishna Consciousness or Krishna devotional service to Krishna, basically. So that, you know, Prabhupada took it from there, from the scripture of Rupa Goswami, and then, you know, he gave this Krishna Consciousness. Look at this institution, how bona fide it is. Right from the name, it is bona fide. It's not like one day you sit, scratch your head, and okay, let's name it as Krishna. Nowadays, people do that, right? Let's name it as, you know, Krishna this, and Radha this, and so on and so on. No. Prabhupada had, you know, everything bona fide, right from the name of this organization. He named it as Krishna Consciousness, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And now, he was still in Bauri, but he initiated the work also, legal work. There's no place, nothing is there. But he had so much of faith in Krishna and his guru that he just initiated the legal work, and the legal work started. So he took the help of Kal. So Kal was there to help. Kal called for his lawyer, Mr. Goldsmith. And then this particular thing started, the legal work started, and Goldsmith was very interested to help the Indian Swami. He was like very looking very much forward to help the Indian Swami. And when he got to know that he's establishing a religious organization, he was even more interested. It was July 11th, 1966, when Goldsmith came. Prabhupada was giving a class. He came and sat there, and very often he would be coming before this also to meet Prabhupada. So this particular day he came there, and he had come to establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness by signing, getting the papers signed, various papers signed. Now, all of us know this now, that no one in the crowd is following Krishna Consciousness. No person is chanting every day. Beads are only not there. What to talk about chanting? Beads will be made later. These people will be making beads. It was not ready-made. They will be making beads, and Prabhupada will teach them how to make beads. Yes. So beads are not there. Only books were there, and these people are not very much interested in that. Only thing that was there was kirtan and prasad, which these people are doing it regularly. Now this person came, and then Prabhupada introduced him to everyone sitting there, and he said that I've come for a special purpose. And Prabhupada said, yes, I know. Now if you have come for getting a sign of various trustees. Now who are the trustees? So at that time Prabhupada looked at him and he said, yeah, he can also sign. No meeting, nothing. He's just telling, he can also sign. Yes. And then there were like some names, 9 names which were got. the first year trustees were Michael and his girlfriend Jane and James. These were the three people. So they came forward, they signed. No one knows what is happening. No one knows what they are signing and what that. Only thing they knew was Swamiji has told he'll be happy if we sign, we'll just sign. Then second year trustees were Paul, you know, remember Gardiner, the agent? He was the one. Roy and Don, these three people signed as a second year trustees. The third year trustees were Carl, Bill, and Raphael. So they were the ones who helped to propagate the message of Prabhupada's arrival in that Paradox restaurant. All of them signed, but all of them had this one question. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And how many people are there? Some 12 people are there. And this old man is calling International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What's wrong with him? And they all started discussing among themselves. Maybe Swamiji want to get some tax exemption when the donation comes. But other person asked, who will give donation to him? So this was a discussion that was going on. Yes. But they were casual, but Prabhupada was serious. And Prabhupada, he penned down 7 purposes of ISKCON at that time itself, which even now it is followed. And this was the same 7 points which was established in 1954 when he established League of Devotees. Let me read it for you all, the 7 purposes, so that we all know what ISKCON is meant for. So there are 7 purposes of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Please hear carefully. First, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all peoples in techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. This is the first point here. Second point, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Third, to bring the members of society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead Krishna. Fourth, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God as revealed in teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Fifth, to erect for the members and for society at large, a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Sixth, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of living. And finally, seventh, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So these are the 7 purposes of ISKCON, and these purposes were put down by Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very serious about it. Other people were taking it casually. But with time, you know, seeing Prabhupada's dedication, and every day Prabhupada would be awake at night, and he would give a lot of time, and people would come to meet him. He would give a lot of time to them. Some people were coming to argue. Some people were coming to debate. Some people were coming to, you know, inquire very nicely. And there were some people who were, you know, monopolizing the time of Swamiji on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. So these were the time when there was no evening class. So they would come and sit there, ask Swamiji about various things, like how was your childhood, and how were your first few days in New York, and this and that. And they were asked about his sannyas ceremony and so many other things. So slowly and steadily, these people started coming closer to Srila Prabhupada. Yes. And so closer that they were ready to give life to Srila Prabhupada. It didn't end. ISKCON had to face a lot of problems, There's so many court cases, those were filed by envious people. Some people filed case of brainwashing. Then Prabhupada, in that particular case, he said, give all the 80 books that I have written, put it in front of the judge and let him read all the books and then make the statement. Are we washing the brain or not? Yes. And then there were some real dangerous attacks to Srila Prabhupada. You know, that people tried killing him in various ways. And then people tried cheating for various properties all around the world, you know, which devotees were acquiring slowly. And then there were few places which Prabhupada acquired. Those were ghost haunted. And Prabhupada was so pure, he would just go inside that Bhoot Bangla. He would do Kirtan, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with his devotees. And no Bhoot there. And then he would install Radha Krishna deities there. And then he would just go. there were some clubs which were converted to temple. And there's so many people who are coming forward to give their life. There at that time, devotees means only the ones who are staying in the temple. They are devotees. So at that time they would go around, preach, and you know, it was huge, huge. And the books of Prabhupada, like first canto was there, second canto was there, and then Prabhupada was still writing. So when the books would come out, it was like freshly printed book. And the devotees will be waiting, what next? Like you people are waiting from last few days. What next? What is going to happen in Swamiji's life, Prabhupada's life? Like this, they were waiting. And they would get that book and they would finish in no time. The big, big books, they would finish in no time. They were so eager. They're so eager. Like this, now we see in Prabhupada's life, you know, in future we'll surely take, you know, these sessions where Prabhupada set up so many temples, the Vrindavan, the temple, and the headquarters of ISKCON in Mayapur, West Bengal. Every temple has got a history, and that history was not a normal history. So many court cases and so many devotees struggling, and you know, Prabhupada himself struggling. And Prabhupada's health was not good at any time. Once his secretary asked him, his secretary was not well, he said, Prabhupada, I'm not well and my health is really going down. I don't think I'll be able to serve you as a secretary. So Prabhupada said, what are your symptoms? Tell me. He said, there's a gong sound in my head, and then, you know, I'm having shivering in my body, and there's a lot of pain in my body, and continuous headache is there, and I'm not feeling any appetite. There's no hunger, no thirst. And Prabhupada said, all this is there for me every single day for years together. Did you hear that? Never ever Prabhupada had a good health. This is what is the point. Because he is not sleeping only. How will he have good health? But still he was stretching like anything. Stretching like anything. Traveling with jet speed. In just 10 years or 10 to 11 years, he traveled the entire globe 14 times. 14 times. Right? So this is what is our Acharya. He is our Acharya. When we hear about Acharya, our collar should go up. Yes. We have such a great Acharya with us. We have Prabhupada with us. Such a gem of a person. Such a gem of a person. After hearing these five sessions, all of us, the expected thing is that we understand who Prabhupada is. We start reading his books regularly every single day. We start hearing Prabhupada lectures every single day. And literally be dedicated to this mission, you know, to help spread this mission of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada tried it single-handedly. Now we are huge in numbers. Now in Belandur, we are in hundreds now. Yes. If all of us come together and, you know, start spreading the message of Krishna consciousness, start spreading the message of Bhagavad Gita, we can convert that entire place into Vaikuntha. Everyone, just imagine, you walk down from your apartment and everyone you see is folding their palms or joining their palms and saying Hare Krishna. Or everyone you see around is holding a wheel bag and chanting. Yes. We can do that. We can do that. If few people did that, now why can't we? We are hundreds in number now. We can do that. We can. Yes. So this is what, you know, when it comes to Prabhupada, Jagat Guru Shila Prabhupada, these are the sessions.